Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. It is a beautiful day, 37 degrees. That is in Murfreesboro and about the same in Ireland. That's what our show's about. This is the weekend before St. Patrick's Day. And about this time of the year, everybody gets a little Irish. I mean, whether you have a heritage of Ireland or not, you get a little Irish. What's so funny about that?
Well, because you're right, Bart. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Do I detect...
the wrong accent.
A slight accent.
Well, you know.
We have some other friends here with us this morning. Let's hear from you. Everybody doesn't have a microphone to them. We don't have enough microphones.
Okay, go to his mic.
Share the microphones.
Share the mic. Share the love.
Hi there.
Hi, Bart. How are you doing today?
I'm doing... Now, that didn't sound Irish at all.
Are you kidding?
Well, from what I heard, it was almost like a New York accent.
That's scary, isn't it?
It is.
You're putting me down now.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Moving along. Let's move right along here.
I'm Terry McBurney, by the way.
Hey, Terry. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Good to see you.
Good morning, Bart.
Hey, good morning. And what's your name?
Joanne.
Hey, Joanne. Say a little bit more, because I, you know, it's hard to detect accent. You've done a good job. How long have you been here in the United States?
Since 1996.
I don't even hear an accent.
I've got that Southern Irish accent.
But I know you're not from Southern Ireland.
No, I'm from Belfast, outside of Belfast.
And we have another guy here from Belfast. Let's see how that accent sounds.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Richard Bradley, and good morning, Bart.
Hey, Richard.
And I'm from Belfast, Northern Ireland. It's great to be here.
And Richard and I met when you called in on Swap and Shop one day.
We sure did, and we had a very pleasant lunch.
Went to lunch after that.
I believe it was it Wall Street?
Maple Street.
Maple Street, yes.
Yeah. One of the streets.
I enjoyed a very good lunch. Compliments of Mr. Walker.
Well, I tell you, we had a ball in Ireland back in September, and beautiful country, and we're going to learn more about that. But I think what people need to know as we approach St. Patrick's Day, which this year falls on Sunday, this area has a lot of people with the heritage going back to Ireland and Scotland, both being very similar. Should I say similar?
Yes.
Now, you were telling us earlier, when you go back home to what area of Ireland are you?
I'm from Newcastle County Down.
Okay.
Northern Ireland.
And this is a coastal city.
It is.
You live on the beach, the beautiful beach life.
Well, I lived about 5 minutes from the beach. It's we get the Mourne Mountains behind us, and you get the beach there, and it's about 5 minutes from my house, and it's a beautiful area.
Now, Terry, right?
Yes.
As you look out the window at home onto the ocean, is it a beach scene that you would feel like you would find here in the United States?
Well, actually, where I did live in Newcastle, when I looked out the window, we looked at the Mourne Mountains. The beach was about 5 minute walk from the house, so we couldn't really see it, so you had to go down there to see it.
Is it like a beach? Would we relate to that beach?
No, not at all. It's very very shelly. Yeah, you get a lot of shells come to the beach. The tide goes in and out every 6 hours. So, you know, sand gets pulled away a lot. They try to bring in sand to put on the beaches. But the water is extremely cold. Even on a summer day over there, it's about 65 degrees, something like that, wouldn't it be, Richard?
Being around, yeah.
And but the water is very, very cold. But people still go in it, though.
Absolutely.
You know?
Why? I guess just for the fun, or what's the reason?
Well, they're there. They're having fun. I mean, it's normal to us. I mean, if that's all you grow up in, that's all you know. You know, you're used to it.
For example, right now in Dublin, while we're speaking, it's 46 degrees and raining, which is pretty normal.
What a surprise! Really,
when we were over there, it rained every day.
I'm sorry, Bart.
No, but it was just for a little while.
Yeah.
And then the sun came out.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Ireland is famous for rainbows. We saw double rainbows. We saw all sorts of beautiful. And the grass was green, greener than anything I'd ever seen. The thing I could not find, Carrie, and I was really looking for it.
What's that?
The pot of gold. Yes, I didn't find it.
Well, you see, that's why we all came to America, because we were told that the pot of gold was over here.
Oh, well, it is, I'm sure.
Well, actually, the reason why I came to America is because I found the pot of gold and brought it with me.
All right.
Now, Richard, you have some information that will bring this, you know, family.
I hope I do even
closer, because when we were talking about Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee having close ties to Ireland and Scotland, you brought something up that a lot of people may not realize.
Right, it's something that I didn't realize until probably 6 months ago. I was just walking around the county hall, just on the square, and I walked up to one of the plaques, sort of memorial type things, and I read that General Rutherford was a first time immigrant from Ireland, actually. So the county is, I suppose, named after an Irishman, which was news to me. You know, I didn't know that until 6 months ago, and I don't think a lot of people know it, but it's right on the town square. So, you know, that was sort of an interesting little bit of information, you know, for myself.
So it brings it on home closer.
Yeah,
makes St. Patrick's Day even more meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our General Rutherford was from, what? There's always someone who takes something that is so serious,
right,
almost sacred,
and twists it.
Of course, you twist everything.
It's all right.
It's all right, Richard.
Now, Carrie, while we're talking about something serious like General Rutherford.
Yes, sorry, Bart.
Tell us about your special area of Ireland that you had me go look at, and it was gorgeous.
Thank you. My dad was from Ireland, and he was from a town called Tralee in County Kerry. And I want to say good morning or good afternoon or good evening to my cousins that are listening right now, especially Marion and probably John. And I want to say Pog Mahorn and Éis de Vail, because now they're all cracking up laughing, and I apologize to my Irish partners here in the studio because they probably know what it means.
Very well.
Thank you very much.
Did you catch that one, Terry?
Yeah. I caught it. So did Richard, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, see? See, so anyway, I apologize. I didn't realize that.
What
did I say? I'm going to translate it. I'll let Terry translate it, or Richard. Well, how about Andrea? Do you know what it means?
No, ma'am.
Now, she's never been to Ireland, though.
Well, I had Bart go to the Ring of Kerry. And he went around and around the Ring of Kerry, didn't you?
I did. And they were doing construction on the road, too.
They were doing construction on the road. And
which made the no shoulders even more no shoulders. They were drop offs.
Now, these guys are from the Northern Ireland.
Were the roads better there?
I don't know. I've never been to Northern.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's right. Richard told me that everything was better there.
In Belfast?
Now, people who are listening
I didn't say
in the
that.
Republic of Ireland are probably up in arms.
Yeah, somewhat.
Very small, though, the roads, aren't they? Very small.
Yeah, well, in comparison to the roads in the United States, they're a little more, they're smaller.
The Woodbury Highway, the old Woodbury Highway would be a major highway. Just picture it as having no shoulders and having a rock wall right up to the pavement. Or bushes.
Yeah, but it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And
it's challenging to drive on, though.
Well, you just do. I mean, I was like a little NASCAR driver as I was speeding through Ireland when I took my other half over there to sort of meet my family.
Was he in the back seat with his eyes closed?
He was on the front seat. He was like gripping the dashboard. It was so much fun. But to allude to the fact that you grew up on the coast, Terry, we would go to the Maharees when we were children, and we would go. Do you know where the Maharees are?
No.
Nope. Southern Ireland, Southwest Ireland.
Okay.
And we would play and go in the water. And you're right, the water's absolutely freezing. And especially when I came here and I got in the ocean here, I was like, what fool gets in the sea over in England and Ireland?
Yeah.
What fool does that?
Is England the same way?
Oh yeah, it's
cold
freezing.
Water?
Okay. Oh God, yes, absolutely, it's freezing.
Come out of there looking blue, won't you?
Yeah, look at me. I'm as white as a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's part of the Irish heritage, man. I go like a lobster in the sunshine.
So that's everybody in Ireland is very, very pale.
No, not necessarily. You're not very pale.
Majority.
Well, I'm not now,
and when they go in the sun, they turn
like lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my family was over a few years ago and decided to lay by the beach and douse themselves in baby oil.
Are you kidding?
They were blistered.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I remember when I first moved over here, we immigrated to Pittsburgh, and my sister Mary and me, we went to the wave pool in Pittsburgh, you know. Uncle of mine was like, oh, let's, you know, take us up to the wave pool. And, you know, we get out, and it was packed with people. And, of course, you know, we took a T-shirt off and in shorts. And it was almost funny, like, everybody turned around and looked at us. We looked like two ghosts, maybe that white.
I blended in. When I got to Fort Walton Beach, the beaches up in Fort Walton are white. The sands are white. And if I laid on the beach, all you saw was a bathing costume because I was so pale, I blended right in. So pale.
And, you know, it's interesting because most of the people in Ireland, that I saw anyway, had dark hair, brown, black, something of that. You didn't see many blonde-haired people.
No.
No. So...
A lot of redheads.
A lot of redheads. What a beautiful country, though. I mean, what friendly people. I'm hearing a lot of people going there to retire because of the living expenses. The visiting expenses, I didn't find it real cheap. Maybe it was cheap compared to Europe, but I thought it was a little bit on the expensive side. I needed some undershirts while I was there, and nobody knew what an undershirt was. I found out that they don't call them that. They call them vests, I believe.
Vests, yes.
And I went to Dunes or Dunn's.
Dunn's store.
And which was sort of like their answer to Walmart, maybe. I'm not sure. The prices weren't. It translated to about, they had a sale, and I think two of them were $10 or $12, something like. And I thought, man, I could buy six of them back home for that price. Mm-hmm. And I just thought things were expensive there. But... if you don't know any different, maybe.
Well, in the little towns there, you have them, you know, just them wee shops, and
yeah,
they're going to gouge you a little bit, you know. You'd have to go out further into, like, and find, like, somewhat kind of a mall or somewhere to get the better prices.
Overall, though, it was very similar to our lifestyle. I was expecting something totally different. I went and looked at subdivisions. You know, obviously they look different from what we have here, but they were subdivisions. There were new subdivisions with a lot of homes with zero property line. You could have had it very easily right here in Murfreesboro, and it would not have been out of place.
No, very similar.
The thing I did notice, and you're with the sheriff's department.
Yes, sir.
The law enforcement there, I didn't see much of it. The Garda, is that what
the Garda?
The Guard, yeah.
Yeah, and I only saw them once, and they were coming down the road with their emergency lights on. I didn't even know they had them until that time. How is law enforcement there, and how does it differ from here?
Well, it's changed a lot, you know, over the last, say, what, 10, 15 years, whenever that's your...
Yeah,
I mean, they've done away with, especially in Northern Ireland, they, I guess, disbanded the RUC.
Yep.
And they were the... Actually, the RUC, to me, is probably one of the toughest police forces that ever was. They were, but then it was kind of when they implemented the government between the Catholic and the Protestant.
Right.
They started, you know, trying to bring them together. And so the police force, mainly at that time, was mainly all Protestant police officers.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then, of course, you had the UDR, which was in Northern Ireland at the time. And then they pulled them back, too, here some years ago. So they implemented the Garda and basically made them Catholic and Protestant police officers, you know, to bring them together. Like, they started integrating the police departments, mm-hmm. like they did the schools and so forth. And, you know, and I think that was a good thing. I really do. I think it helped out a lot. But, of course, you know, you're going to have a lot of animosity there, and you're going to have a lot of folks that are still bitter on both sides and not going to want it. But for the most part, you know, they have a tough job, and it's going to take them some years, I think, to really develop into a really, really strong department, would you say, Richard?
I would agree. You know, the only way to integrate, people is to bring them together. And I think, you know, if the with the police force, I think that was a good starting point, you know, that, you know, it was for quite a while, you know, largely maybe 90%, 95% Protestant. And, you know, it wasn't that there was a rule that Catholics couldn't join. It's just that traditionally that's not what they did. But, you know, times have moved on, and I think, you know, overall people are sort of coming together a little bit more over there, which is good, you know. It's we can't live in the past anymore over there, you know. Really, we've tried to, you know, stay within our own little corners over in Northern Ireland, and you know, that really didn't work out for us too well, you know. So I think, you know, integrating the police, integrating, you know, the UDR, as it used to be called, I think it's Royal Irish Rangers now.
Royal Irish Rangers now, yeah.
You know, and integrating that has certainly been beneficial for the country.
Schools was a big, big one, schools.
Yeah, schools as well, yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, I was...
Starts with the youth.
I was sort of fortunate that I was brought up in a mixed area. Being on the Armour Road, it was South Belfast, and it was largely mixed, so... I didn't grow up with that sort of sectarianism, you know, within me. But there was people in other parts of the city that, unfortunately, were living in an area that was 100% of what right. they were, you know, what their religious belief was. So they never really got to mix. I was fortunate in that I was able to mix.
I was,
you know?
Too. I mean, my family. I mean, we had. I mean, it's crazy when, like, over here, I mean, you wouldn't even think of it, asking somebody what the religion was. And
see, I safe, think we do, don't
safe,
we?
Am I safe to marry you? You know, I'm talking
we
about
try to be
Catholic
subtle.
Or Protestant. But,
yeah,
you know,
real subtle, Bart.
Back in Ireland, I mean, back when I was growing up in, you know, in the 80s and stuff, I mean, it was bad. I mean, I had friends and stuff that were Presbyterian, I'm Catholic, and, you know, it was frowned upon on now, both sides.
How long ago... were these conflicts strong? Actual fighting?
Started around the, what, late 60s?
69.
69, yeah.
69, all the way up till probably early 90s, it was real bad. But okay. 80s was, it was really, really,
really
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I think if we compared ourselves, if we could think, and we can't imagine that at this point, but if we were right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
20 years, 10 years after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine your thoughts of Northerners and Southerners.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that's the way it is.
Exactly.
Now, in Ireland. I mean, they're peaceful, but that memory is still there.
Yes, it is.
Very much so. I mean, I can give you a perfect example. I know I'm English. I was born and raised in England. So it was hell being at war with yourself, you know, being mm-hmm. half Irish and all. But there were bombs going off in London. And, you know, my brother was in the British Army, and he had to do a tour of duty over in Northern Ireland. And it was very brutal. It was really brutal.
So he actually was stationed in Northern
mm-hmm.
Ireland.
He was stationed in Belfast.
The fighting was that bad.
It was.
But look at you're talking about over in London and England.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it was
that famous movie In the Name of the Father that was based on the Guildford Four.
I know. Oh.
I mean, that's what was going on then. I mean, oof. People were just walk into a bar, into a pub, and get something to eat or drink, and next thing you know, it's blowing up. But I mean, that's the way it was in Northern Ireland, where I'm, you know, Richard, Joanne, they'll tell you. I mean, the violence on a daily basis was bad.
It was awful.
I mean, you'd have people, like I used to go up and down in Kilkeel.
Mm-hmm.
Kilkeel was real rough, Richard. You know?
Yeah, well.
You'd have Protestants on one side of the road, Catholics on the other. They'd be throwing
rocks
and bottles
and
petrol bombs, we called them. You call them Molotov cocktails, I think.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that was with the gist of it. I mean, it was bad. Like, me, myself, I when I was 14, I was on the Ulster team, the... Mm-hmm. Track and field, and doing really good. Probably could have went far. And having to walk around the wrong place at the wrong time in Newcastle, the Ulster bus station.
Mm-hmm.
Walked right into, you know, I would call it a nest, but I was the only Catholic boy, and it was all Protestants.
God.
You know, and it was in June. We were still in school, and I got beat real bad.
Mm.
But I mean, what I mean, I. Would you think of something like that going on anywhere else? You know, no.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I didn't have any idea that something like that was happening. In this place that we visited, this peaceful, beautiful country.
Where my father was from, they didn't have any conflict down there. Yeah, there was no... There were no...
Great radio station there.
I know.
Hello, everybody at Radio Kerry.
That's right.
Where would I go? My friends were out visiting Muckrose Park, I think it was.
Yeah.
I wanted to go see Radio Kerry.
Of course you did, Bob.
And I did.
You did. And now Radio Kerry is on at 10:30 this morning. But anyway, yeah.
We were really politically incorrect. Now that I hear Terry's mm-hmm. story about Ireland.
Right.
I'm a Presbyterian. There were four couples.
Right.
I'm a Presbyterian. One of us was Catholic. There were two people that were Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Another two were Episcopalian, which is pretty close to Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a Methodist couple.
Uh-huh.
We were politically incorrect and didn't know it. And all of that happening, we were there, I guess you could say, a decade and a half after fighting had simmered, and it was peaceful looking, not realizing that things like this continue to rage in the hearts of people.
You know,
we're going to pause for just a few moments, and we'll be back, and we'll find out what it might be like there today. Some strange things do. Now that we have this feeling... That you have described, it makes sense why the BBC omitted certain things in their TV broadcast. We'll be back.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
New at Ford of Murfreesboro is the 2013 Ford Fusion Hybrid and Fusion Energy Plug-in Hybrid. Fusion Energy has plug-in technology to further your charge, which means that you'll get amazing gas mileage. The new plug-in Fusion becomes America's most fuel-efficient sedan in 2013 with a rating of 108 miles per gallon in city driving. Visit fordofmurfreesboro.com at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Colored gemstones express your personality with color. Our gemstones are all natural, not man-made. From blue sapphire, vibrant ruby, green amethyst, orange citrine to black onyx, excite your mood and your wardrobe with a collection of colored stone jewelry from Bell Jewelers.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
Hi, I'm Robert McConnell, and if you have a car problem, me and my team on Broad Street are here to help.
Robert's Auto Repair on Broad across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
At Robert's Auto Repair, we're always honest, always fair.
896-1407.
Good morning again, Murfreesboro. We've got traffic easing on Old Fort Parkway at Bridge Avenue, Old Fort Parkway at Chapin Place, I-24 at 96. Traffic easing Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial. Also traffic easing Rutherford Boulevard at Mercury Boulevard. We've got I-24 headed into downtown. Congestion, but no reports of accidents at this time. Are you suffering from neck pain or headaches? Nobody has time for that. Call Dr. Frails at Back to Life Health and Wellness. Call 834-2600. That's 834-2600. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Sunny skies today with a high of 70. We'll have a southwest wind, a little breezy. Cloudy skies for tonight will drop to a low near 52 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 37.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
Okay, everybody tap dancing in Ireland and doing the Irish jig there. Can anybody do that, by the way?
Joanne can do it really well, Bart.
Can she?
Okay. No. Go on, Joanne.
Joanne.
Go on, give us a jig.
On the radio.
Go on, do a jig.
It's good on the radio.
Well, you make sort of noises with your finger. There you go.
Visiting with us this morning, and they all have Irish connections. Kerry Boylan, that you hear regularly on the radio. Richard Bradley. He was one of the callers on Swap and Shop a while back from Ireland. Andrea Price, who has Irish roots but has never been to Ireland, but by being in the show today is hoping that some of it will rub off on her. Also, Corporal Joanne High, or Haig, okay. And Captain Terry McBurney, both from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. And how many other Irish people are at the Sheriff's Office?
One more, Joanne's sister.
My sister.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you, have you always been in law enforcement?
Pretty much. I've been with the Sheriff's Department since 2002.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess when you're young, 2002, that's pretty much.
Yeah, that was young.
Yeah, really.
So let's go back to Ireland and try to get the feel of this, I guess you could say, conflict, difference of opinion.
It was a war.
It's like the Civil War, which none of us can relate to here because it was so long ago. But if you're in Ireland, you're looking at a decade or two decades ago. And so the memories are strong. I mentioned watching the BBC because that was one of the services that was in the hotels. They would do the weather forecast and they would have the map up just like in the United States if you were watching the Today Show.
Correct.
They'd say, here it is in Wales, here it is in Scotland, England, here it is in Northern Ireland. And the Republic of Ireland, you could see it, but it was just gray land. And there were no cities on it.
We got our own conflict going on in the radio station right here. Thank you, Bart. Yeah.
And that is happening now from the BBC.
Well, it's not really anything. They just don't recognize. They just can't be bothered to tell the weather in Southern Ireland. That's all, right?
No population.
The BBC.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No population.
There's no population.
And yet Dublin has a million something people. Dublin is a whole different place, though. I'm not sure. It's a good place to get. Every place in Ireland for me was a good place to get lost.
You did. He got lost so much. Yeah. Nobody thought to bring a GPS. They didn't even have a map. It goes into a garage station, to a gas station. They don't have maps.
Finally found this one.
Look.
It took to County Meath, way into County Meath, from the Dublin airport to find a place that had a map.
I see you have an iPhone there, Bart.
I do, but
it doesn't work overseas.
There's an app for that.
my provider said, if we can activate your iPhone where it works there, but you'll be surprised when you get back and get the bill. Mm-hmm. So I put it on airplane mode and worked it only in the Wi-Fi areas. Mm-hmm. And so I was, you talk about going back to the old days. We didn't have GPS. We didn't have cell phones. And for a good while, we didn't have maps.
Well, the trick is, I'll tell you, what do we do when we go home? Mm-hmm. First thing I do is go and I buy a prepaid.
Yes, phone. That's what I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can get a smartphone with an apps and stuff.
That's
and,
right.
Prepaid. Okay. And then when I get done, if I don't use all the minutes, we just give it over to one of our relatives. And then, you know, it'll be
that's
there.
What I should've
done. Be there the next time we get back, or they'll use it, or they'll put money on it, or whatever. But that's what we usually do.
So this
snap.
Feeling,
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
This feeling of animosity is still very strong there.
It is really strong there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, don't have them feelings. But then, you know, you're going to have a lot of folks that grew up heavy and strong in it in their families on both sides. And then, you know, it trickles down. It goes from generation to generation. And, you know, basically when the IRA disbanded, you remember, and they put all their weapons in the ground and they concreted it all and so forth. And
was that symbolic?
Yeah, I believe it was symbolic.
Supposed to be.
Yeah, and but now you have the up-and-coming, the young kids, because, I mean, there's so much unemployment in Northern Ireland. Basically, most people are born into unemployment. You know, you really, unless you just get out of the country, which a lot of people do. So you got a lot of young kids over there on both sides that are basically sitting around. They don't have much to do. They don't have jobs, you know, and they're just going to continue to cause trouble. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, like we were talking earlier about the Gardier, the police department over there. Law enforcement over there actually does not carry weapons. They don't carry
weapons. What happens when they come on the bad guy?
Well, that's a good one. Most of them stay inside the Land Rovers and they don't get out. Which is smart probably on their end, isn't it?
No, they go in. You go in, you're tough.
Yeah, no, they
police
don't.
Police officers are tough.
You know, in Ireland, really, for the most part, I mean, Richard, Joanne, you agree with me or not, but most part in Ireland, things take care of themselves.
Well, yeah, the families take care of it.
Are you saying that neighbors know each other?
Am I saying neighbors know each other?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's how we're different then.
I know my neighbors, Bob.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
A lot of people here in the United States don't know your neighbors.
That's
why you have the neighborhood. But they have a neighborhood watch in Ireland, too.
Oh,
it's called something different.
The neighborhood watch in Ireland?
Well, at least the Republic of Ireland has something. I've seen signs on houses in the Republic of Ireland that sounded, I thought, there's their comparable neighborhood watch. I don't remember what it was called, though.
I don't know exactly what that's called.
Carrie, do you remember
that? No, I don't remember. Okay. Did we talk about it on my show? I can't remember.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
That was
I'll find out for you.
But you'll find, like what I was saying, I mean, a lot of people, because law enforcement right now is weak, and even before, even with the RUC over there, I mean, a lot of people, they handle stuff themselves.
Mm-hmm. There is an Irish author, Tanya French, who writes mystery books. Mm-hmm. Most of them are about a detective in the Dublin Police Department, in the murder squad. They have these different titles for things that they do, but very interesting. And it makes you feel like there's a very big police force over there and they're working all through these areas. And they go through some of these small areas and are looked at a little funny, but they're solving crimes. Is it not that way then? Or is it that way?
I don't know. What do you think, Richard? I don't.
Well, I think the police force in the north of Ireland is a pretty big affair.
Yeah.
In the south of Ireland, you know, because it's... apart from Dublin, the south of Ireland's, you know, very rural, you know.
In
a lot of places. So, you know, I don't think that the police force in the south of Ireland is you know, as large or as organized as the police in the north. But then with the history of the north, you know, with the violence and whatnot, you know, the police force has had to maybe, you know, up their game a little bit more than they had to in the south over, you know, over the years.
Just recently they talked about re-implementing some of the ex-RUC officers back into the Gardaí, ones that they disbanded.
What is that, ex-RUC?
Well, it's the Royal Ulster Establishment. The police is what they used to be, and it's a really, really tough police force. And when we talked about it earlier, where, you know, the police force was predominantly a Protestant police force in Northern Ireland. So when they came in and they started integrating, you know, the two sides back together again, they disbanded them, and that's when they brought in the Gardaí, and where you had both sides, Catholic and Protestant, joined forces. But now they're seeing that they're, with the violence up and rising with all these young ones I was talking about earlier, they're not really able to handle it. So they're talking about bringing in ex-RUC officers that I guess you would call they laid off or fired, right, bringing them back in because they've got more experience dealing with these sort of situations.
Let me ask you this, because I went over there thinking that the conflict was Northern versus the Republic of Ireland, and the conflict was the Northern Ireland folk were their allegiance was to Great Britain, and it was fine with them if Ireland as a whole became part of Great Britain, and the people in Northern Ireland wanted to remain independent. That was my feeling, but now I'm feeling from hearing you that it's Irish Catholics versus Irish Protestants. Mm-hmm.
Well, in Northern Ireland, you got Catholic Protestants, and you got the majority is Presbyterian in Northern Ireland. South of Ireland, the majority is Catholic. The Catholics in Northern Ireland want to unite with the South of Ireland. The Presbyterians in Northern Ireland want to remain British subjects.
because Catholic and Protestant alike in Northern Ireland, even though Catholics consider themselves Irish, are considered British subjects. So that's what their goal is, that's what they're trying to go for. But they turned it into a political religious war, but it's more political than it is religious.
Absolutely.
It absolutely is. They just use religion as a scapegoat, is what they do. But it's more politics. You know, we want Britain out, we want the English out, just like, you know, they've been in many, many other countries. And, you know, these other countries, I mean, China, the Bahamas, I mean, we could keep going, Canada,
yep.
Where, you know, they've actually gotten their independence back from the British. And that's basically what the people in Northern Ireland are wanting to happen, the same thing.
Now, Richard has already mentioned about the relationship with Griffith Rutherford being Irish,
right.
the namesake for Rutherford County, Irish. How does Rutherford County, Middle Tennessee, visually compare with Ireland for you, any one of you? How does this area compare to Ireland? Do you feel at home?
Not visually. You know, Ireland being an island, you know, I was used to the ocean and, you know that sort of thing. But Tennessee being landlocked, or, you know, Rutherford County being landlocked, the thing that has made me feel most at home is actually the people. Just very welcoming people here, very friendly. And just like the people back home, I hadn't got that much of an adjustment to make when I came to Tennessee, just because of the people. Countryside-wise, you know, Ireland has its fair share of mountains and whatnot, and of course the ocean, as I mentioned. So, you know, countryside-wise, it's not that similar. Certainly I didn't have as much of an adjustment coming to the United States as I thought I initially would, just because of the people and the friendly, you know, ness of them.
That's the South for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yay! Hello, Andrea.
See, Andrea really is here today.
She really is here. Say something, Andrea.
Hi.
That's Andrea, and she has never been to Ireland. But I have a feeling you're going to go and see some of your father was...
It's kind of funny. My paternal grandparents were British, and my maternal grandparents were Irish.
Yes.
Straight off the boat. So. Well,
just like Carrie.
Yeah. So I have this like internal conflict, I say, but
But you'll go over there as a Southerner, oblivious of all of these things,
yeah.
And you'll think, what a beautiful place, and aren't these people great?
Yeah, I do. I want to get back to my roots. My heritage is McKelvey's from Ireland. About 12 years ago, they were doing a restoration on the St. Patrick's Cathedral, and my dad worked on that. He's a stained glass artist. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Is he here in town?
He lives in Chattanooga.
Oh, okay. Does he still do stained glass?
He does. He actually just invented his own art form. He's a visionary, my dad is. So.
How super fun is that?
That is neat.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, we haven't heard from Terry and Joanne about how this area, how you look at Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, does it compare well with Ireland?
I think it does, Bart. I love Tennessee. I really do. I don't think I'd ever live anywhere else. I think the people here in Tennessee are a lot like the people in, like, Newcastle and the Mornes, where I'm from. A lot of farmers, country folk there. They're down to earth, you know, they give you the shirt off your back. And I think Tennesseans, for the most part, are very generous, very giving, very caring people. And, you know, it does. It reminds me of home a lot, and I just feel just like I'm back in Ireland sometimes here, except for the mountains and the beach, you know. But, yeah, I really like it here.
Joanne, how about you?
Yeah, I'm the same. I enjoy living here.
Yeah.
If I was to move anywhere else, it would probably be Florida, and that's, you know, just because of the weather.
And that's certainly not like Ireland, I wouldn't think.
No, it rains all the time.
Hot. Oh, tell you what, let's do. Let's pause and check on the weather. We will be back and wrap it up. We're going to be talking about how it is to be Irish. And these people are really Irish. And have St. Patrick's Day coming up Sunday. I mean, how is that going to be for you? We'll be right back.
The Early Show with Brian Barrett is on weekday mornings, 5 to 6:30. The Morning News with Scott Walker, 6:30 to 7:50. Start your mornings with WGNS.
If you're tired of always cleaning out your gutters, let Southern Breeze Home Design Center take care of that for good. Our exclusive Gutter Dome gutter protection system will eliminate cleaning your gutters forever. Stop by our showroom at the Avenue or visit us online at southernbreezehome.com.
For home remodels with ease, call Southern Breeze.
Spring is near and it's time to open your windows. Southern Breeze Home Design Center can help you choose new energy efficient windows and have them installed by spring. Stop by our showroom at the Avenue between Michaels and Petco or visit us online at southernbreezehome.com.
For home remodels with ease, call Southern Breeze.
Sunny skies today with a high of 70. We'll have a southwest wind, a little breezy. Cloudy skies for tonight will drop to a low near 52 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Faluber.
Right now, 37.
Quit throwing your cash in the trash. If you've been throwing away scrap metal, things like old soda cans, wire, maybe car parts, then you've been throwing away cash. Get top dollar for your scrap metal at Clark Iron and Metal in Murfreesboro on Hiller Drive off South Church. Visit clarkiron.com.
This is Tina Fox at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have a wide selection of the Watkins products. We have the Watkins vanilla flavoring. We have a lot of your other flavorings like lemon, peppermint. This is Tina at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have everything those farmers will need. We have everything from fencing to chicken coops to wire to gloves to do those outside activities, anything the farmer would need. The Co-op Farm and Home Center is at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
For decades, we've been telling you that Bell Furniture has first quality name brand furniture half price every day. Now this locally owned family business has pictures of some of their furniture on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com. Save with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com.
If it's passed, bounced, or hit, WGNS is there with our microphones. MTSU and local sports coverage is on WGNS.
Bloody Mary in town is an opossum's pub.
Oh, it is opossum's.
It is opossum's, yeah.
And while you were talking that, I'm seeing that you've talked Joanne into dancing there. She's great. I'm doing great.
Well, she wasn't doing a bad job.
No, here she goes. There she
I just gave her a nip of whiskey, that's why.
Welcome back. And we're talking about Ireland. This is the weekend of St. Patrick's Day. These people in the studio with us have Irish backgrounds. And St. Patrick's Day is Sunday. They all live in Murfreesboro. So you can see where we're coming from. What does St. Patrick's Day mean to you? Does it have different meaning from, say, what we look at it as?
Well, Bart, in Ireland where we're from, St. Patrick, well, I was just telling these guys here, St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland, and basically it's like a religious holiday for us. You put on the you get real live shamrock and you wrap it in foil and you pin it on your shirt and you go to mass, and then after you come leave mass, you come home and your mother, wife, whatever, you would have like a big Sunday dinner, like a roast and roast mm-hmm. buds and stuff like that. And then later on that night, some folks would go to a GAA club, something like that.
What's a GA club?
I was wondering that too. It's a, Georgia?
No, it's a Gaelic football club.
Oh.
Yeah.
They get drunk, really, really
football
drunk.
Football is big, but it's different.
Well,
we were there when the counties were competing for the national championship, and Donegal was one of them.
Wow.
They finally won it. I've never seen such camaraderie. I mean, this was major.
Well, they take it very passionately.
Oh, yeah.
Even with the soccer, though. I mean,
I was bumped from the air last Friday because of the sports here. They're very passionate about your sports here, Bart.
Oh, they are, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say it's pretty well equal on both sides. But, of course, you got a lot of hooligans over there in the games. They get nuts.
Well, yes, this is true. Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I love the use of the word hooligans.
That's right.
Hooligan's a nice word.
Hooligan's a nice word.
Yeah. Now, what is that word, Shurin Bagora? I've heard that all as a kid. Never. Is that just something that sounds Irish, or is that Irish?
What was it?
Shirin Begora.
Shirin Begora.
Shirin Begora.
Must not be Irish.
I don't know it at all.
See, growing up in America, you hear those things and you say them, you think they're Irish.
It's lost in translation. I've said this to you, right. I don't know how many times, Bart.
Maybe you're saying it wrong, Bart, you know?
I've heard the word Begora, but I don't know what it means.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Neither do I. Maybe I should be careful at that word.
No, they actually stopped teaching Gaelic. They didn't. It was disbanded in Northern Ireland by the British.
There we go.
Where they didn't want it taught in the schools.
That's right.
It's actually a fact.
It is a fact.
But now, even in the integrated schools now, here probably in the last 5 years or so, I've been told from family members and stuff that they're actually teaching Gaelic back in the schools.
And they should.
It's a traditional language.
It's a beautiful language. It really is.
Can I say
it again?
Yeah, sure.
Pork Mahorn.
Pork Mahorn?
Pork Mahorn.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I think some people here might take that the wrong way.
I know.
I hate to put an end to this because it is getting ripe now, but we need to go celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and Carrie needs to get ready for her radio show.
I know. I'm on at 10:30 today. The British Voice. Thank you for having me, Bart.
It's going to be fun. Then we have a basketball game this morning.
I know. It's March
Boys
Madness.
Boys Championships.
March Madness.
Going to be fun. Thank you all for sharing your Irish heritage. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Richard Bradley with us, Terry McBurney, Corporal Joanne Haig, and also, let's see, Andrea Price, Carrie Boylan. Did I leave anybody out?
I don't think so.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, Bart. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
We'll see you next year.
Looking good.